Good evening. Boy, that's God's timing, isn't it? That heater shut off just as soon as the music was over. He knows. He's got it all figured out. So, of course, we know this is Good Friday. And on Good Friday, Jesus had been crucified at about 9 a.m., died at about 3 p.m., and taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb by 6 p.m. Jesus made a statement in John 14:6, shortly after the Last Supper. His death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later finalized and validated that statement. And John 14:6 says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's look at the way. Jesus is the only way because man has been separated from God since Adam sinned in the garden. In Colossians 1:21 through 22, it says, "Once you were separated from God, the evil things you did showed your hostile attitude, but now Christ has brought you back to God by dying in his physical body. He did this so that you could come into God's presence without sin, fault, or blame. The veil in the temple was symbolic of that separation between a holy God and sinful humanity. According to the old covenant, the high priest was allowed to enter once a year through the veil on the Day of Atonement to sprinkle the blood of an animal on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant to atone for the people's sins. According to the new covenant, Jesus' own shed blood allows us to enter into the presence of God once and for all. And we see that in Hebrews 10:19 through 22. And that says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn in two, as we see in Matthew 27:50 through 51. "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." The veil was 60 feet tall, approximately. There's some dispute over that exact, but it was tall. Let's say that. And it was about 4 inches thick. And it was a very, here's my lack of material, but it would have been like a tightly woven material that didn't tear easily like paper, 4 inches thick. Only God could do that. That's the best way to say it. The torn veil symbolizes direct access to God for all believers through Christ's atoning work. It represents an end to the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant in Christ. Jesus bridged the gap between man and God with his sacrifice, his shed blood, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. No more veil, no more high priest once a year using animal's blood. Jesus tore the veil wide open and gave us direct access to God, becoming our high priest and dealing with our sin once and for all with his shed blood. if we are in Christ, then God now sees us as righteous by the blood of Christ, for we have no righteousness of our own. Now, I'm going to go through quite a few verses here, so if you can keep up, that's fine. If not, that's fine as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is not a way, he is the only way. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now let's look at the truth. Truth is an attribute of God. He is not just truthful, he is truth. Psalm 119:160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." God's word is absolute truth. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God's Word has always existed, and the Word is God. Jesus is the Word, and we know the Word is truth. John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Part of the reason for Jesus' death, resurrection, and leaving us behind was not to abandon us until his return, but on the contrary, to send the Holy Spirit to finish his work. And we see in John 16:7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus fulfills the truth and sends the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, he says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth brings us to Christ, who is the truth. The truth sets us free, and we are then indwelled by the Spirit of truth, who guides us into all truth. That is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So in John 8:32 and 36, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The truth shall make you free. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is the truth. First, we come to know him as Savior, then as we walk with him, we know by experience that we are free. We are free from the penalty of sin. When we yield to him, we are free. He is not truthful, he is the truth. Now let's look at the life. He is the source of life, physical, spiritual, and eternal. First, we'll look at physical life. In John 1:3, that says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." That tells us Jesus created all things, living and non-living. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." He specifically created man and gave him life, both physically and spiritually, though we are born spiritually dead due to Adam's sin. Therefore, we must be brought to life spiritually, or in other words, born again. Let's look at spiritual life. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And in 1 John 5:12, that says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." It is Jesus who gives life, not just life, but life abundant. Life abundant is not money and things, but rather love is the currency. Joy and peace are the possessions in the life Jesus seeks to give us. He desires us to have a fruitful life walking with him. In John 10:10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." And then Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So we see that Jesus gives us new life through his death and resurrection. He did not give his life so that we could go on living like we always have. He gave his life so that we could live his life in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We leave the old life behind and begin living a new life in Christ. He doesn't even ask us to live the Christian life. He asks us to trust him and let him live his life through us. We have a special opportunity in this life to be his hands and feet, to show forth his loving kindness, grace, and mercy, to be a sower of his seeds. He has given us these riches. How will we invest them? And then we can look at eternal life in John 5:24. Says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." That is a wonderful promise from Jesus himself. Not only has he given us eternal life, but it is a life free from judgment and condemnation. And in Romans 6:23, we see that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid that debt with his death on the cross so that we could have the free gift of eternal life in him. And in Colossians 3:4, in closing, Colossians 3:4. That says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And that is our hope. Let me clarify that hope is not a passive wish, but a confident expectation grounded in God's promises and faithfulness. It's an active trust in God, even in the face of difficulties, based on his character and history of fulfilling promises. No more sorrow, no more tears, eternal joy and peace in the presence of our awesome Savior and King. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a wonderful Savior, that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to walk amongst us, to die on the cross, but it didn't stop there. Yes, he was put in the tomb, but he rose 3 days later, and he is a living, loving Savior that ascended to sit by your side. And the greatest thing of all is that one day he will return and gather us before him, and we will spend eternity with him, complete in our salvation, and a new body as well, to enjoy the riches that he has made us an heir to. And we thank you for all of the things that you bring forth in our lives, the fruit that we are able to produce because of the indwelling of the Spirit. And we thank you that Jesus is even now completing his work within us. And we know that Philippians 1:6 tells us that being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you again, Father, for all that you do in our lives, for our wonderful and awesome Savior, Jesus. And it is in his name we pray these things. Amen.